Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to Metaphysical Romp 2, MR2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. I'm delighted to be with you. I'm delighted that you're listening. And of course, it's another beautiful day in my consciousness. And as always, around our virtual kitchen table, I am here with my friends and my co-broadcasters. That's a big word, isn't it? Broadcasters. Hi, guys.
Hey, I like that term. This is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton, and I'm on the Durham, North Carolina side of this beautiful virtual kitchen table. And it is another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And I'm the Reverend Dr. Bill Holton, and it is very definitely another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness as well. And as you guys know, we are the co-founders of a hybrid online unity ministry called the Unity Center for Universal, youuniversalprosperity.com.
And the shortcut to our events-driven and resource-rich website is ucfyp.com.
And my website is paulhasselbeck.com, where you will find my absolute word, which is my weekly blog, and you'll also find my calendar of where I'm teaching, what I'm teaching, as well as wherever I'm speaking for Sunday services around the country. And so today's a program on Eric Butterworth. I'll explain how that popped up. However, first, I thought it would be good, or Cher thought it would be good, to read this bio of Eric that's found on the back of his book,
Discover the Power Within You, which is probably his most famous or most well-known book, because Oprah Winfrey discovered the power of this book and broadcasted it. And I think that's what really made this book so popular. And then Maya Angelou did the foreword in the newest version of this book, or the newest edition. So they have a nice little description on the back that kind of sums up Eric Butterworth, who was born in 1916, made his transition in 2003. Often referred to as a 20th century Emerson, is considered a legend and spiritual icon in the unity movement. A visionary and an innovator, he originated the spiritual therapy workshops. The author of 16 best-selling books on metaphysical spirituality, a gifted theologian, a philosopher, and lecturer, Butterworth was a highly respected New Age pioneer and innovator of New Thought, whose life was dedicated to helping people help themselves.
Wow, and I did have the pleasure of meeting him a couple times. He was quite the gentleman as well. And while I met him in more of his twilight years, he was still pretty sharp. And you said that he wrote 16 books. Charles Fillmore, I think it's around 12. And I was kind of using that as a guide. Maybe I'll get 13 out of him, but I may have to be an overachiever and get to 17 books.
There you go.
Before my twilight years become sundown. So you might be wondering, why is it that we're looking at Eric Butterworth? Well, yesterday, a friend of mine, the Reverend Gio Downer, who has a church in Hawaii, put a post up on Facebook, and it caught my eye because every time he sees 11:11 on the clock, he posts it. And I saw it, and the connection to me there is I was born at 11:11. And now I'm slowly learning that it's like this master number or something like that. It's kind of, oh, really? But the quote he put there from Eric Butterworth is a quote I've been kind of sort of looking for. And it's a quote, well, let's put it this way. The way I said it is, or the way I say it is, God is everywhere, totally present, which means that the totality of God is everywhere, that there's not a piece of God here and a piece of God there. However, this Eric Butterworth quote really says it well, and I'm not surprised. Eric was quite the writer, quite the wordsmith. And there's actually two parts to this. So we're going to do the first part. And it starts out, now you may say, where does God come in then? And Eric responds, well, God doesn't come in. God never went out. I really, really like that. And then this next point is the one I was referring to. So Eric says, God is spirit, present in its entirety at every point in space at the same time. Present in its entirety at every point in space at the same time. So, you know, a little mind boom. And so I had Kelly Isola looked it up, and it occurs in spiritual economics and also in this new book that was published by Unity called
Practical Metaphysics.
Practical Metaphysics. So do you guys have any comments on that quote?
Well, yeah, the G-O-D word, of course, has baggage. People tend to anthropomorphize the G-O-D word. Of course, Sarah and I would substitute, instead of God, add ultimate reality, which the rest of it would apply to the ultimate reality just as well, as opposed to anthropomorphizing this ultimate reality, this energy, this omnipotent, omniscient beingness, which is not anthropomorphic at all.
Yeah, and what's really interesting, as you were saying anthropomorphization, is that every once in a while, I think we have to define it. And that's where we make God in our own image and likeness. Since we are entities, since we are beings, and God must be a being with similar qualities and personalities and all of that. And the word I would use, not a surprise, is principle. And so I'm going to do the word substitution. Now you may say, where does principle come in then? And then Eric would have responded, well, principle doesn't come in. Principle never went out. Principle is spirit, present in its entirety at every point in space at the same time.
Yep.
And it's just, I'm going to memorize this last piece because it says it so succinctly and so clearly and understandably. So that's a big keeper for me. And what we're going to do with the remaining of the program is we're going to look at a few really good Eric Butterworth quotes. And fortunately, Cher has her Discover the Power Within You with her little tabs and all of that. And so we're going to just share and we're going to riff on those. And here's one heads up, is that it's not unusual to find in one paragraph language that looks like Eric believes in an anthropomorphic God and other areas where he's talking about or referencing oneness, that we are not separate from it. Mm. Okay, so what do you got?
Well, yes, several things, different things here. It's interesting because I'm sure anybody who's a minister has taught Discover the Power Within You many times in their, yes, with their groups. And we actually had to buy new books because every time we taught the class, we underlined different things. And our books were so underlined, it was like the whole book was underlined.
Yes,
and I noticed even this new one is pretty underlined.
And if you kept the old one, that would be a monument to your growth.
Right, that's true. That's a good way to look at it. Yeah. So I'm looking at some of the things from the second version that we had underlined and thought were valuable. And one of them comes from page 59 in the newest version of Discover the Power. You may read many books and take many courses of study. You may even acquire a fine intellectual grasp of metaphysical principles. But to know the truth, you must keep on beyond the end of the book. Beyond the conclusion of the course of lessons, you must keep on until you catch on. I like that. You must keep on until you catch on.
Oh, that is a meme. Keep on till you catch on.
Yeah. And then he finishes up saying, it is not something you come to, but something that comes to you. It is an inward revelation.
Wow. Wow. And so there's an example. Comes to you can sound separating, and mm-hmm, then he says it's an inward revelation, which means it's within you.
Yeah, and I would add that it's something that comes through you.
Yes.
Mm, I like that too. Yes. Yeah. And I think what I really like about this particular quote is that people get so hung up in the learning about things that they forget somewhere we have to take what we're learning and find a way to make it part of our life. And we call it make your life a spiritual practice.
Yes.
You know, your life is your spiritual practice. And this quote reminds you that you go on beyond the end of the book.
Yeah. And I've begun saying metaphysics is a spiritual practice.
Yes,
it's not just subject matter. It's a practice. And if you don't practice it, you got butkus. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Big deal. Nope. It's like getting the booby prize.
Right, exactly.
And I like what he says too about keeping on when you learn something, because knowledge only helps boost you in a way, but you got to apply that knowledge.
Yep.
And to apply it, you got to study it more than just take a peek at it one time.
Yep.
You've got to let it sink in, if you will. And that's what he means by keep on keeping on, if you will, so that you can thoroughly understand it. Sharon and I say understanding without experience is the booby prize.
It's the booby prize. Exactly.
Yeah. And he started this whole quote with a statement that said, to really know the truth means so much more than knowing about the truth.
Yeah. So what we're talking about is experiencing it, right?
Yes.
Experiencing it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of ties in with another quote, as we say the word experience, if I can just throw this one in, and this is further along, it decide the kind of world you want to experience, the kind of friends you want to have, the success you want to achieve, and the kind of conditions you would like to see manifest in your home, your neighborhood, your office, and begin to think the kind of thoughts that will draw them to you. I know we'll be talking about that in a minute, that will draw them to you by the irresistible force of consciousness.
Yep. Yeah. So will you read that again?
Mm-hmm. Decide the kind of world you want to experience, the kind of friends you want to have, the success you want to achieve, and the kind of conditions you would like to see manifest in your home, your neighborhood, and your office, and begin to think the kind of thoughts that will draw them to you by the irresistible force of consciousness.
Yeah, that's a really good quote. And of course, we're not fans of that draw them to you. We draw ourselves to them.
Right.
So
he kind of alludes to that when he says by the irresistible force of consciousness.
Yes.
So back to what you said at the beginning, he can mix that together.
Yeah. And the irresistible force of consciousness could be seen as local consciousness or non-local consciousness. And the thing about non-local consciousness is that then we talk about that as being something outside of us and not in its entirety at the point of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this goes back to this whole quote, realigns or redefines how people see that law of attraction.
Right.
It really, and also the power of dominion or power that we have dominion over and can rise above what's going on around us, and that we can recreate that experience through our thoughts.
Yes. Well, let us remember to add feelings to that.
That's big time feelings. Yes.
Thoughts and big time feelings. It's not just our thinking nature. It's our thinking feeling nature as well.
Yeah.
And when we think about the four functions of consciousness, thinking nature, feeling nature, sensing nature, intuiting nature, I wonder if we shouldn't include all four of those faculties to the best of our ability, but at least our thinking, feeling faculty.
You bring up a good point, because it makes not only the sentence a little longer, but it's all without what you're suggesting, it might be necessary, but not sufficient. If you don't include all of those four factors, for example,
right.
You need those to gain the perspective you need, because our neuroscientists tell us that our neuroverse isn't just composed of neuron synapses, We've got the emotive quality too, which is what you're suggesting, that is very much a part of that whole mix.
Yes, indeed. And what came to mind was this quote I'm used all the time from Charles Fillmore from Unexpassioned Power of Mind on page 93 of the edition I'm reading, where Charles says, "The creation of the one mind are ideas. The ideas of God are potential forces waiting to be set in motion through proper formative vehicles. The thinking faculty in man is such a vehicle." Well, so I know Charles didn't believe in the one faculty, because he talks about the four faculties, which are thinking, feeling, sensing, intuiting. Well, then these are the things that set the divine ideas into motion, that tap in and use the potentiality of divine ideas. And that's the whole secret, isn't it?
It is. And I think the thing we overlook sometimes is we can strongly focus on something with lots of feeling and everything. And then as we go about with our actions, we have reverse feelings. Like if fear and doubt and worry sneak in, they actually can inhibit our ability to manifest what it is we're consciously considering.
And let us not lose sight of the fact that we are always creating in our consciousness. So even if it doesn't manifest in the outer world, it is manifesting in the world of our consciousness.
Yes.
And that's an important factor. And then the way the brain is connected to consciousness, or one with consciousness somehow, impacts our physical bodies. So that means there's always a demonstration in our physical bodies. And as we've harped on, we keep harping on, is that to demonstrate beyond our bodies usually requires action. Or activity.
Right. In alignment with what it is.
It has to be in alignment with what it is. Right. You can't be holding thought and feeling of being on a diet and eating certain foods and then going about eating the opposite foods. That isn't going to work.
It won't. And then people say, this stuff doesn't work for me. Well, right. Yes, it is working.
It is definitely working, because so there's places in Charles's writing where he refers to the laws of the natural world as secondary to the laws of the world of consciousness and of mind. And yes, they are secondary, but they must also be quote unquote obeyed. You cannot not follow them, because they are the laws. And what we were saying about laws before the program in that book that you have been presently reading, Bill, is that evolution, natural selection, doesn't happen by a guiding force called God. It happens because of law. And laws passively predetermine what is possible and what isn't possible.
Yeah, the laws of physics are very much there. And that's what Darwin meant when he was describing natural selection. And I just had a thought. Here we are looking at the book that Sarah's holding,
Discover the Power Within You.
The Power Within You. It just occurred to me from what you were just saying, Paul, that I'm wondering if we can take a look at it as the capital P power that is you, that is actualizing as you, and you're in the current version of you, because the you, the us, that's really referring to is greater than the particular incarnation of us.
Yep.
Because we are eternal beings. So the power itself is us.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. And we are power, and we are powerful because of that power.
Yep.
And as with all divine ideas, we can use it any way we like. And so this is why we get bad stuff and ugly stuff as well. And so it's about a good time for us to move over to the absolute word, because if we get into another one, we'll be going really long. All right. So
that was fun.
It's fun to romp with Brother Eric. The absolute word is based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word a copyrighted Unity publication and has been used with permission. And so this one comes from June 6th, 2021. The word is wholeness. And I will reveal to you that the word for June 6th in a daily word was healing. And that's a word we don't use because healing is a process and we want to be claiming the end point. And the affirmation is, I claim wholeness and health now. I am always grateful for the principles of wholeness, health, and life, which I claim as wholeness and health when my body is experiencing illness. This bolsters my capacity for healing. I appropriately care for my body while putting a demand on the principles of wholeness, health, and life. I faithfully know they are enduring while illness is not. I assert wholeness and health now by my thoughts, spoken words, and actions. Even when I'm not facing illness, I greet each day by blessing my body, affirming my wholeness and the ongoing activity of divine intelligence in every cell, tissue, and organ. I am grateful for innate wholeness, health, and live that I freely use to establish my healthy body. I claim wholeness and health now. Well, now, I found two mistakes in this one while I was reading it. Wow, wow, wow. First of all, I said, I assert wholeness and health now by living my thoughts, spoken words, and actions, and I didn't include feelings there, and I should have. And then I am grateful for innate wholeness, health, and live, and that was supposed to be, I am grateful for innate wholeness, health, and life that I freely use to establish my healthy body. And yes, I need an editor. And I am grateful for our listeners. I'm grateful for Bill and Cher. Thank you, everyone. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck saying goodbye for now.
And this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton saying thank you for sharing time around our virtual kitchen table. You can see how much fun we have, and we love having you with us.
And this is the Reverend Dr. Bill Holton saying adios, and we'll see you next podcast. Okay.